Loving Lord, we ask that you would indeed lead us and teach us and challenge us through your mighty word today. Help me as I do that, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, if you have a seat, to page 201, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll continue our series in 1 Thessalonians. Well, I've only been going to an Anglican church since I married Jenny. It's over 22 years now. And every week of me going to an Anglican church, we've always said this familiar phrase, "This is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God." This is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. And I wonder, do we know what we are saying? This amazing little response to hearing the Bible read trips off our tongues. I've been saying it for a long time now. And it can be so easy for it just to just pass out of our mouths and mean very little in our lives. Become blasé and familiar with that remarkable phrase of what we're saying. It's a statement of faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What we're saying is this book is powerful. It's like electricity. It's got power. And the question I have for us all this morning, for my own heart as well, is are we letting this power loose in our lives? Are we receiving it, or are we pushing it away and rejecting it? So, let's click on. For Sophie, the thing that shaped her life more than her Bible was Instagram and her YouTube lifestyle clips. They could absorb hours and hours of her day, and quite frankly, the word of the Lord was often just an afterthought. For Patrick, the Financial Times gripped his attention day after day. In and out of work, he travelled. And quite frankly, the Bible had just slipped to one side and he hardly looked at it, just on a Sunday maybe. For Susie, the way her husband read the Bible drove her potty. She couldn't see the point. He'd become one of those funny Christians. He'd joined the club. He'd left the golf club and joined the Christian club. It meant that every Sunday was ruined now because he was going to church. What was he doing? And for Jake, the Bible had come alive to him, as had its hero Jesus. But since that had happened, his life had got much tougher. Family and friends thought he was weird. People at work laughed at him. He found it really, really hard to feel different. And what does God's word have to say to each of those situations that maybe we're facing or similar situations? What does God's word have to say to us this morning? Well, I think it's this. Receive the word of God, not as a human word, but as God's word. Receive the word of God, not as a human word, but as God's word. And there's two things I think Paul's doing in this little passage here that we're looking at today as he writes to the Thessalonians. Two things we see, the encouragement of receiving the word, verses 13 and 14, and the catastrophe of rejecting God's word. Verses 15 and 16, the encouragement of receiving it and the utter catastrophe if we reject it. So firstly then, the encouragement of receiving God's word. You see, Paul is delighted and he rejoices. Paul, we began the service by what we say thank you to God for. Paul is rejoicing and thankful, verse 13, about the way they received the word of God. So look at verse 13 and what it says. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word. When you heard it, you received it, you accepted it. And so we saw back a few weeks ago in Acts chapter 17, when Paul arrived in Thessalonica, he preached in the Old Testament on the Sabbath day, three Sabbaths in a row. And we saw last week in chapter 2, verse 9, how he described what he was doing by proclaiming the gospel of God. That's what he was doing. And Paul records a response of the Thessalonian church, this new church, as they received it. They accepted it. You know, don't you, in day-to-day life, whether people are receiving or accepting what you're saying or doing. And my life is full of fraught moments of buying gifts for the many women in my life. My four daughters and my wife, just to make that clear, what I mean by that. So I've often gone out and bought jewellery or clothes, and they're very good at being pleased at the time, but I know if they like it or not, because actually they'll wear it with joy, or it'll disappear into the archaeological dig at the bottom of their wardrobes, just disappearing out of sight. No, Paul says he knows from the reaction of the Thessalonians that when he proclaimed the gospel, they received it with great joy. He's so pleased with the way they received it. It was a genuine reception of the word of God. Paul the apostle knew, you see, he was proclaiming the word of God, God's word to them, which was fantastic. I've just missed my papers up here. Oh, there we go. Thank you very much. That's all in the right order now after the 9 o'clock service. That's going to make much more sense. Okay. Receive the word of God. They received the word of God, not as God's word, but as human word, but as God's word. Extraordinary. He was so thrilled and delighted with what they were doing. And Paul recalls the massive impact that had on their lives. So chapter 1, verses 4 to 5, we see when the word of God came, the Spirit of God took it with power, they were convicted, and their lives were transformed. The fact they received the message from the Apostle Paul as God's word to them was a work of God's Holy Spirit. It brought change and transformation. They received the message of God's gospel of rescue and reconciliation through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Receiving it is saying they believed it. It is trusting in it. It's building your life upon it. And notice that in verse 13, Paul says they received the word of the apostles as God's word. Chapter 2, verse 13. So the message came from God, Paul is saying, through the apostles to the Thessalonians, and God was changing them, had changed them, would keep changing them. And Paul is unashamedly saying that the gospel he preached as an apostle was the very word of God. So just like the Old Testament prophets, they'd stand up in the Old Testament, they'd say things like, the word of the Lord came to me, or thus says the Lord, or listen to the word of the Lord. Paul is making a very similar claim here. That what he spoke to them was the very words of God for them, the apostolic words, God's words. Now, we don't have Paul with us today, do we? But we do have his words recorded for us in the scriptures, along with the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles, all written for us. And when we say, this is the word of the Lord, we're saying as Christians, we receive this book. Not as a human word, but as God's word. When we hear the Bible, we hear God speak. Do you remember back in 2011, that we celebrated the 400th anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible? And it got massive coverage on the news, programs devoted to it, books written about it, articles in newspapers and magazines, and they all delighted in this remarkable translation and its beautiful language and how it's shaped literature today. All secular coverage missed the power of the book and its power and its purpose to bring salvation and reconciliation. The celebration for many was, this is just a beautiful bit of literature, like Shakespeare, it's just gorgeous. Well, most of them are saying these are just men's words. Not God's words. You see, when the Bible is relegated to the library of beautiful books, of beautifully written scripts, it will have little impact and power on people. It will seem utterly irrelevant. Nice, but irrelevant. But when by God's Spirit we see it for what it is, God's words, as the Thessalonians did, it has authority over our lives. It is power to bring transformation and challenge and change. And boy, do we need that. The word of God did an amazing work in Thessalonica. It turned their lives around. And imagine worshipping one God all your life, a false God. Then you hear about Jesus and you turn away from that and you follow Jesus. That is a massive, powerful thing that's happened. Gripped by another power, but they've come to know Christ, and we hear in chapter 1, verse 9, they turn to God from idols. That is the power of the message of the gospel. And the whole of their lives were shaped by the gospel, by the word of God. Chapter 1, verse 3, their work of faith, their labor of love, their steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Where'd they get that from? From the word of God preached and proclaimed through Paul. And also they suffered for the gospel. Do you notice that? After the reception of the apostles' words, we see that actually they suffered, verse 14, like many other Christians who'd received the gospel. Their experience of receiving Christ and the gospel was so profound and real, it brought suffering into their lives. This is the power of the word of God, by the Spirit of God in the believer, that sustains them even through suffering. This gospel of God, in the word of God, has eternal power. Because through faith in the Savior, Jesus, chapter 1, verse 10, can you see that at the end? We are rescued from the wrath that is coming. Such a powerful word. It's a word of rescue through Christ. No wonder Paul is thankful and excited and delighted at the reception of the word they received. Chapter 2, verse 13. We give thanks for the God for the way you received this word. And the huge encouragement comes to us this morning. Receive the word of God, not as a human word. Nice bit of literature. Very nice, beautifully written, well done. But as God's word. The encouragement of receiving. But then Paul records another response. As Paul speaks of the suffering that came upon the church of Thessalonica, he recalls the rejection of the word of God by God's people, the Jews. The catastrophe of rejecting the word of God. Can we see how in these verses, verses 15 to 16, that Paul lists a catalogue of the rejection of God's word in Israel's history? Many rejected and did all they could to silence God's word. So verse 15, what did they do to Jesus, who is the word of God? They killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets. They killed Jesus. Shut the word up. Keep him quiet. He's a problem. Kill him. Now we all know we are culpable for Jesus' death, aren't we? Well, he is pierced for our transgressions. But in history, who was hounding him, who was chasing him and plotting a scheme to get him killed? It was the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders. The word became flesh and they did not receive him. They hounded him. They falsely accused him so he would be killed. Shut the word up. And that's what happened to many of the prophets you heard about in that verse, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets. They came from God saying, this is the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. And many of God's people wanted to shut the word up. Be quiet. So they killed them. They silenced God's word by killing the messenger. In fact, Paul goes on to say that actually he was driven out, verse 15 and 16, driven out from the synagogue by the Jewish leaders. In their effort to keep them from speaking the gospel and sharing it with Gentiles, they chased them out. They did all they could to silence the word of God. And it held them back from sharing the gospel with others. You see, the reaction of the Israelites, who did not receive God's word as God's word, was to silence the speaker, to drive them away, to limit the spread of the message of Jesus. What does God think of that rejection? Verse 15, have a look. It says that God is displeased with it. They displease God. And what is the consequence of rejecting the word? Look at the end of verse 16. God's wrath has overtaken them at last. Now, commentators disagree about what Paul is talking about there. Is he talking about past judgments on the Jewish people during Jesus' time after Jesus had gone to heaven? Or is he talking about a future judgment that's so certain that he's speaking about it as if it's already happened? Or whether it's a past judgment or a future certainty, can we see the massive contrast between those who've received the gospel? Chapter 1, verse 10, rescued from the wrath that is coming. And those who actually reject the word and reject the gospel. Chapter 2, verse 16, God's wrath has overtaken them. We know that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. And on that day, people will either be welcomed into the new heaven and new earth, or cast away. I never knew you. Cast away. Into the horrors of hell. And what determines that is whether we've received or rejected God's gospel in the Word of God. So can we see how important it is to receive the Word of God, not as a human word that you just file away with everything else, but as God's living words. You see, when we do, by God's Spirit at work in us, we are saved by the message of salvation from the wrath we deserve for our sin through the work of Jesus who bore our wrath on the cross. We are transformed by its truth as we allow it to shape and fashion us into the likeness of Jesus, as we obey it and read it and pray it into our lives through the Spirit. Will we receive that word? I wonder how that truth speaks into our hearts. How does that truth speak into the situations I began with today? So for Sophie, the thing that shaped her life more than her Bible was Instagram and the Tube lifestyle clips that could absorb hours and hours. For Patrick, it was the Financial Times that gripped his attention as he travelled in and out of work every day. The Bible had been pushed to one side. And so I guess if I'm honest, often that can be me. The Word of God gets just pushed out by the busyness of life, by the routines of life, by other interests and obsessions. We can relate to that, can't we? All of us. You see, every week we say, "This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." And yet often there's a massive difference in what we say and how we treat the scriptures, the place we give it in our lives day by day. Are we letting God's word loose in our lives? Or are we limiting God by doing this? How can we do that? Really practical ways. Keep the good habit of coming on a Sunday morning. It's a great habit. Don't break it. Keep coming and hearing the word read and taught and be with God's people. Keep meeting in a small group. If you're not in a small group, there's information at the back. A great way to meet with other Christians, to read the word, study the word, and pray about it and pray for each other. How are you getting on? How are your Bible reading going? And you can't miss. You can't beat the daily reading the Bible. Maybe if you struggle, why not read a psalm a day and say a prayer in response to one little bit, or get some Bible notes, or get something on your phone. A lot of people use a phone app with a Bible on and do Bible readings on that on the train. I try and get up early to do it in the morning. Sometimes I fail, but that's my routine. People will be different. My mum used to send us all to school and do it then. But actually make the time to allow this word of God into your life. One of the things we're doing at the moment as a staff team. Here we go, where is it? Oh, there it is. It's not very big, thankfully. My wallet. We've been learning a verse a month. We've got four of them at the moment. I've been here 4 months. We're learning a verse a month. Some of us keep them in our wallets or in our glasses cases. But actually, we're trying to get the word of God into our minds and hearts. We're learning a verse for a month. And we're saying it day after day after day. And actually, the great thing about having it in your glasses or your wallet is that when you're sitting around in the park, like I was yesterday, just pull them out. Kids are happy, bit of sunshine, read the scriptures, pray about it. Just having it there. It's a way of keeping the word of God there in our lives. Very practical. Because it is powerful. And it shapes us and it changes us. What about if you've got a family and kids? Are you making the most of the time you have at mealtime to read a bit of scripture, read a story, pray with them at bedtime, at mealtime. Expose them to the powerful word of God. They're living with you for about 18 years. What a privilege. Read a bit of the Bible. It is powerful. Talk about it. Pray it for each other. Maybe you should join the Sussex Gospel Partnership yourself and go along to one of their courses, Saturday mornings or during the week. A great way to get your head in the scriptures and grow in your knowledge of God's word and allow it to shape and change you. I found that unless you plan to read the Bible, it just doesn't happen. And if you don't, you're not sitting under God's word, you're not sitting under his authority, unless you plan
a million things get in the way.
Well, what about for Susie, whose husband read the Bible, drove her mad? She can see the point of it. It took him away on a Sunday morning. It was all a bit weird. Sundays are ruined now. Well, maybe that's you. Or maybe that's you're exploring the faith. I wonder this morning, can you see the reason why as Christians we are so excited about the Bible and its content, which is all about Jesus? It's because it's really true. It's from God. It's revelation. It's powerful. It's changed my life. It's changing people's lives all over the world day after day. It's like electricity, God's way of speaking to us. You see, rejecting the word is just another sales pitch, just another truth among many, like licorice all sorts, is a huge catastrophe. It's got consequences. Reject the word as the word of God. You reject the Savior and the forever life that he came to bring you. Maybe today is the day we need to come to Christ and receive the word into your life. Why not take a leaflet from the back about the Christian faith? Why not chat to me or Rob? We'd love to pray with you and chat to you about how you can come to Christ and know the joy of his life in you. But what about for Jake? For Jake, the Bible had come alive. Jesus was precious to him. He'd become a Christian. But since doing that, it had got really tough to follow Jesus. How does God's word impact him today? He's kind of thinking of just being quiet about Jesus, just too hard. Just toning it down a bit at work or in the family. Well, it's interesting that Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonians to encourage them in their suffering. Have a look at chapter 3, verses 2 to 4. At Paul's aim in writing it and Paul's purpose in sending Timothy ahead of him, he wanted to strengthen and encourage them for the sake of their faith, so that no one would be shaken by these persecutions. They were having a tough time. A really tough time for following Jesus. And Paul wants to write to encourage people to stand firm and not be shaken by tough times. And what the Bible says to someone like Jake or to us, we're finding it really hard at the moment to follow Christ, is to do not be shaken by it. Do not be shaken by it. Be strengthened by the fact that if Jesus, the word, was rejected, if the word of the prophets was rejected, if Paul and the apostles were rejected, if the Thessalonians had a tough time, the fact you're having a tough time is absolutely normal. And don't forget, the call to follow Jesus and our future glory is a far greater value than any comfort in this world. Maybe as we pray about people we're going to invite to the Queen's birthday service, we might face rejection or the squirming irritation of our family and say, oh, Mum, not again. I was trying to get us to church. Mum, just leave it alone. Well, just do it. Invite. It's worth it. They might not come, but they might come. They might say yes and hear the word of God. Let's pray for boldness, not to fear rejection, but to invite people next weekend. I wonder this morning, we'll renew our commitment to receive the word of God as the word of God and for what it is, not the words of men. Well, I wonder if you remember back in 2011, there was a terrible disaster in Fukushima in Japan. Do you remember that? The earthquake, the tidal wave, and the ongoing problem with this nuclear, what is it called, machine? Thank you so much. That's what I'm looking for. Nuclear reactor. That's what I'm looking for. Terrible, terrible accident in history. And sort of thing people said they could never predict. There's one guy called Koji Minora, who for 20 years wrote articles and papers. He visited the sites. He did research into ancient Japanese history that predicted every 1,000 years there had been a tsunami and earthquake in that area. And he wrote and wrote and wrote for 20 years, and no one listened to him. Nobody listened to him. And the consequence of rejecting this guy's words were catastrophic and their ongoing problems, huge problems. How much more vitally important it is if we recognize the word of God for what it really is as Christians today, that we recognize it's speaking truth about our lives, about our future, about the Lord Jesus. God's gospel is not one of many sale pitches, not one of many truths in the world. It's the only way we can know God and his son Jesus. It has authority over us as a church. We sit under it. And if we ignore his words, we ignore God. If we reject the words, we reject God. Well, let me just pray. Loving Lord, thank you that you're a God of grace and compassion. You know how we struggle often to read our Bibles and pray every day. Help us not to feel beaten up about that, but to know your gentle encouragement this morning, just to get new routines and new disciplines in place, that we might hear your words, that we might read it daily, that we might share it with our families, that we might live for Christ and not be ashamed of Jesus. Pray that you give us a heart for those in our lives, in our world, in our country, who are rejecting the word of God and the gospel of God. Give us a heart to share that gospel with them. Give us a joy of seeing people coming to know you next weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.